When my first poems and book reviews were published, and for a long time afterwards, I had a day job, teaching, editing, all kinds of interesting but essentially distracting projects. Making space for writing was a slightly anxious business of keeping the world at bay, getting myself into the right state of mind. I never became good at this. For much of my 30s, when my children were young, writing took second place. I'm sure I had many lessons to learn that I wasn't going to learn at my desk. In my 40s, I began to publish steadily, mostly books and essays about art, and I gradually became able to write full-time. I find it much better to treat it as a job, 10 to 6 every weekday, easier to get started and to see things through. I earn less than I did 10 years ago, but who cares? The ideas that keep me going through the writing day tend to arrive in one of several places. If I wake early or during the night, I'll start to write in my head. In this drifting, half-conscious state, the beginnings and ends of chapters and essays take shape. I'll memorize the words rather than switching on the light to note them down. As a rule, if I get stuck with a piece of writing, walking does the trick. My default route is a 2-mile circuit of the coast path near where I live. There is a spot where the path emerges from scrubland onto open cliff, where all kinds of problems and questions have solved themselves, or lying in the bath, not something I hasten to add that I would deliberately do as part of my daily routine, but another surprisingly effective way of tricking the guardians of conscious thought into standing aside. Although most of what I write is non-fiction, dealing with chronology and historical facts, the writing usually begins with an intuition of structure and rhythm rather than the words themselves. Even workaday pieces like book reviews have this primary rhythmic identity. Days after I've submitted a 1,200-word review, I can remember every line. With a book, I think of the process in physical terms. It's like separating a big lump of clay from an even bigger mass, knocking it around, sensing as it takes shape under your hands. Or like kneading bread. Music is very important to me, but I just can't listen and write at the same time. For an art history book, there may be a year or more of research, though I will start writing before I finish the research. However much factual material I've accumulated, it's the narrative arc that gives it meaning. My weakness for circular narratives may be down to the coast path. Once the narrative starts to tick over, making structural, intellectual sense of the facts, there's often a moment when I realise I've become fully emotionally engaged in the book. This can be quite intense, a point where history and fiction touch and the ghosts step into the light of day.